Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Holland Pellanqvist. I am the lead singer in this band.
I'm Vigilante Karlström. I play one of the two guitars.
I'm Nicholas Arson. I play the other guitar.
And this is
Dr. Matt Destruction. Yeah, I'm the bass player in this band.
Yeah, that's important. You keep like the rhythm, right?
Yeah.
You keep the rhythm thing going.
I try to stay fit in the middle.
Tell me something about the band that's revisionist, that's between the lines, that somehow, some way has gotten avoided till this very moment in time.
There were avid swimmers.
Okay, wait. This is exciting. Okay, you see, this is why I asked this question. I am now beside myself. Avid swimmers. I want to know about the Strokes. Not the band.
Kind of.
You know, I realized that could have gotten lost in the translation.
When we started out, it was basically we were doing one of three things at all times. We were either playing music, swimming in a lake, or sleeping. That's pretty much all we had at the time.
But you don't really want to do the sleeping while the swimming.
You don't want to play electric guitar while swimming either.
People have died that way.
I'm sure they have.
And many rock and roll deaths.
We try to keep the instruments dry and the body wet.
We were skilled enough to...
The instruments dry. There's your quote right there. That's the pull quote for the interview. We try to keep the instruments dry and the body wet.
Yeah, we were trying to alternate between the three. Like, first play, then swim, then sleep. We did it just... was it yesterday? Day before yesterday. We did swim, play, sleep.
Yeah, what was the place?
It was Lake Washington, Seattle.
Seattle, nice.
And we, a lot of in the modern age, when bands show up in dressing rooms, the first thing they shout to their tour manager is usually, "What's the Wi-Fi password?" Whereas we will ask, "Where do you go swimming?" So that's something not a lot of people know about us.
I have an 11-year-old daughter who, in 2008. Was 8 years old, and we're watching Cartoon Network, and this thing comes on, and I look at her and I go, "This is the coolest thing ever." And she says, "Why?" I say, "When you get older, you'll understand." So this morning she woke up and I said, "Guess who I'm interviewing tonight?" And she said, "The Hives." I said, "How'd you know?" She said, "Because you were playing that Cartoon Network theme on the radio again last week, and I heard you just jumping up and down and going crazy." So that's like, to me, you've done a lot of anthems. So how did that come about? Because, I mean, you know, you got Cartoon Network, you got a target audience of, you know, whatever the age is, and 90% of those kids are not in your demographic.
Everyone is in our demographic, especially young kids. Like, when we were 6 years old, we were big AC/DC fans, and that's how rock and roll works. You know, it starts early. You can get it, if you inject the poison very early on, it will grow, and that's how we grow our audience.
Look at my hair. Can you tell I've had the poison way too early?
Yeah, you know.
That's what the poison does.
Well, and kind of, but
yeah, you know, you resemble that remark.
Story behind that Cartoon Network thing is we were asked if we wanted to do it, and it was the sort of thing like, if you want to do it, we can do it, and we. All the artists got a season each, and we got fall, basically, which seems self-evident. But it really is the fastest thing we have ever written and recorded. It's an hour and a half from going, okay, we should do it, till having the finished product with writing and rehearsing and recording.
Sometimes writing a song that fast gives it an energy that really does make you go, holy Toledo, that's what the best 2.5 minutes I ever heard.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always the dream that, because everybody says that, you know, "You Really Got Me," or, you know, "Wooly Bully," and all those fantastic songs were written in 5 minutes. But the problem with that is that all these people that wrote those songs in 5 minutes, they only did it once. Nobody writes 15, you know, "You Really Got Me" in 5 minutes. So it's a thing that comes around rarely. So you got to learn how to do it, also do it in a long time. And AC/DC, I feel like, you know, I have a... Speaking of AC/DC that we talked about just now, I have a friend who interviewed AC/DC, and they were like, it was 5 years since their last album, and he was interviewing them, and he's like, "So, do you have any new music coming out?" He's like, "Yeah, we've been working on an album, But the problem is we have 9 really, really brilliant intros, but we can't make them into full songs. That's kind of how we feel about songwriting.
The songs are really simple. They're incredibly well played, but more importantly, the band is having fun. Rock and roll is supposed to make you feel something and be fun. So you figured that out a long time ago, and you've never apologized for it, right?
No, exactly. I mean, you can add things to it, but the more you add, you kind of take away from the rocking, you know. If you want to make really complicated music, then you probably shouldn't be in rock and roll. It's about as it's sort of like being a minimalist painter, if you will, or a minimalist poet. You write 3 things on a paper. They could be any 3 things, or you draw 3 lines on a piece of paper. They could be any 3 lines, but to do that well is more difficult than painting with a million lines, you know. You gotta, it's more important what you take out than what you put in, basically. Is what rock and roll is to us, because we always liked really simple rock and roll. And, you know, advanced rock and roll, what is that? Is it...
prog rock.
Steely Dan, yes.
Gloomy advanced rock and roll.
Yeah, or not. Thanks, but no thanks.
It takes a little... Well, you know, again, and I've heard you talk about, you know, that you don't have any massive guitar or drum solos in your music. And I've heard you talk about that a lot. And it's kind of like, that works for a couple of minutes. But after a while, unless you're smoking the right thing... You know, I'm not really sure that that's the point.
I subscribe to the notion of like when, you know, rock and roll was invented by 50 drunk people in a room. And then that sort of ideal of rock and roll kind of came back with punk. Or it kind of happened in places all along, but it kind of came back with punk. But what happens when you evolve something, you kind of take something out of it. I also think that, you know, a lot of early hip hop sounds more exciting than a lot of later hip hop, and a lot of early jazz is more exciting than later jazz. You know, it's something about when things evolve up to a certain point, you know, it's like you say, you know, there was some smart person said that every important movement starts as an idea by crazy people and continues, and then it becomes an industry and it ends as a fraud. Basically, people that were playing prog rock were saying to people that they played rock and roll, but they really kind of weren't.
Now, you made a decision this time around to self-produce. And it's not because Black and White was a bad record.
If you go back to the beginning, even if we had producers in the past, like our 3 first records, we were involved, a lot more involved in those records. Like, we were pretty much producing them with a little help from, you know, from our friends. And then on the Black and White album, we thought, let's do something, you know, we did 3 records, we did what we wanted to do, and then we really needed to do something completely different, you know, try to, you know, that's what we needed to do. And then I guess we did it. And for this record, I think we were kind of longing back to do things the way we used to do and to try to capture how we sound without someone else having something to say.
Getting live performance on record and getting the energy, I think, does require giving it a shot without a producer.
Another important thing is that these days music is made really different from the past. I mean, people don't even have to play their own instruments. I mean, you can just put it in the computer, make it sound good, and here we go. And it gets too monotone and boring, for me at least. If you want to capture a band the way they sound, they should be the band standing and playing upside down. If you then, you know, play the songs and then you sit for a year in the computer, every beat straight and everything, the personality from the music just goes away, it disappears.
In the start, we heard that a lot of times that we were a garage band, or like, are you part of this? There was the Strokes, the White Stripes, and we came just the same, exactly the same thing. It was just, we were 3 bands liking rock and roll, and we were not a part of the thing that was going on, so we had to be, you know, we just kept on doing our own thing and didn't care about much. And we said that too, that we, well, call it what you we said that we were more happy with there was more bands doing our thing than anything else.
None of the bands that we've like whether it be The Clash or The Addicts or whoever they were, like bands who were maybe considered to be punk, none of them really, as far as whenever I met them, has considered themselves to be punk. They were always considered to be rock and roll bands because they liked rock and roll, and or whether it was the Pagans or something else. They were basically, you know, they liked the Rolling Stones, and they sort of played some of that, and then it became something different. Like, it was, I think it was the same thing for us. Like, every time someone sort of labeled us as punk, we were trying to do something else, and every time we got labeled garage rock, we'd maybe go towards, you know, it's always been, it was always more interesting, you know, sort of peeking over the fence, I guess.
For every Hives, there are how many bands that didn't get to this moment? So do you ever kind of like sit back and go, wait a minute, we're 420,000 likes on Facebook. I know, 840,000 likes on Facebook.
You know, we're doing really, really king well, I would say, comparatively to all of our favorites, band did really, really badly. You know, there were bands, we always thought that that was the reason we had the idea of making only three albums, because we didn't think anybody was good for more than three albums, but it was more the fact that, okay, we're a good rock and roll band. There's no way in hell you can make a living being a good rock and roll band, but if you're good, you're screwed. So let's just make three albums, and then by that time, maybe we want kids and to support them, so we'll get jobs. Turns out, since we started, the ability to make a living being a good rock and roll band has appeared out of the blue. We created out of thin air, and now we're actually making a living being a rock and roll band. I feel like that's the biggest victory of all of our lives.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. It's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between, and for 40 minutes, it's solid music nonstop.